Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. Today we have a podcast episode that truly the conversation that I had, I did not want it to stop. It was such a great conversation. It was such a great flow. There was so much information in this podcast episode. And if you love to learn about the law of attraction, if you love learning about manifestation, or you know, maybe you don't really know a lot about the concept of law of attraction, manifestation, quantum leaping, but you're feeling stuck in a lack mindset, you feel like you're stagnant in life, this episode is really going to shift your mindset and help you to attract what you truly desire in your life and to create your reality. So today on the podcast, I am joined by Christy Whitman. Christy is a New York Times best-selling author and transformational leader. She has appeared on the Today Show, The Morning Show, TEDx, and the Hallmark Channel, and her work has been featured in numerous publications and magazines. Christy teaches the law of attraction, energy mastery, and personal development classes, meditations, and private sessions to help her clients feel more aligned with the divine design of well-being, abundance, and success. She currently lives in sunny Arizona with her husband and her two boys. On this episode, we talk about the seven essential universal laws, how to use your thoughts, actions, energy, and words to attract what you desire in your life. We also discuss how to get unstuck from a life of lack, tragedy, anger, grief, sadness, and jealousy, how to use the law of attraction and manifestation in your life, as well as quantum leaping. Plus, we talk about so much more. Christy is somebody who truly embodies this work in her everyday life. She comes from a background that I think would surprise a lot of people. You know, she suffered with a lot of tragedy, including the death of her sister. She gets into all of that. She's very vulnerable in this podcast episode, and you can see how she truly pivoted and made her life what she truly desired. And she gives you the tips to do the same in your life. You know what I just absolutely love doing in the morning, and I get so excited every morning to do this, is my morning skincare routine. I love discovering products, and I was super excited to discover Three Ships Beauty and their award-winning mushroom hyaluronic acid and vitamin C serum. Three Ships Beauty has a mission to be the most transparent beauty brand in the world. Their products are super clean, they're natural, with 100% plant-derived ingredients, and they contain no harmful ingredients. My current obsession is the Dewdrops, which is their award-winning and best-selling serum, which has the mushroom hyaluronic acid and the vitamin C in it. It honestly makes my skin look so bright. My skin feels so hydrated. It feels so plump. It looks so dewy. I am currently just obsessed with this serum. Right now, you can support the show and get 20% off of your order by using code BALANCEBYMEGAN20, M-E-G-H-A-N, at checkout. Or you can use the link in the show notes to take the skincare quiz online, find the products that work for you, and get 20% off of your order. Use code BALANCEBYMEGAN20 at checkout or the link in the show notes. With that, please welcome Christy Whitman to the Balance Your Life podcast. Welcome to the show, Christy. Welcome to the show, Christy. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you, Megan. I'm happy to have this conversation with you.
I would love to know if you can give our audience a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining us from today.
Yeah, so I'm obviously Christy Whitman, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Interestingly enough, I grew up and was raised here and went to college in Arizona. I went to Arizona State University and I communications degree. And then I left after 2 days after I graduated, and I lived in Chicago and California, and I lived in Montreal and Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. And then I moved back with my family, my husband and my two boys, several years ago, about 7 years ago. So I'm kind of living about 3 miles away from where I actually grew up with a totally different perspective, which is interesting. So I'm an author. I have authored 7 books to hit the New York Times. So I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I say I've been coaching before coaching was cool, because people thought I was really woo-woo. Oh, she's doing that coaching thing. And I certified through my Quantum Success Coaching Academy over 3,000 coaches over the years since 2008. So I am now a channeler for the council. So there's lots of things to pick and choose from. I'm a healer, an energy healer. I work with everyday people to celebrities and athletes and help them release their blocks and things that they feel hold them back so that they can be free to create what they want and understand about the universal laws. I've been teaching universal laws for about 20 years, and specifically the 7 essential laws. And most people have heard about law of attraction. So I'm all about helping people manifest and move towards their desires, as my latest book, The Desire Factor, helps people know the steps to be able to know exactly what to do. So it's not so much of a mystery. So it really gives concrete steps as to do this, do this, do this, do this. So yeah.
That's amazing. And I want to congratulate you, because when I was looking at your bio, it author, and I was like, awesome. I love a good book. And I went and looked at the books that you had authored, and I was like, oh my God, like, there are 7 books. It's incredible. Insanely just amazing. I was just blown away. Like, that is very, very cool. I would love to even back right up to the very start of your journey. Did you grow up in a household that was very, I don't necessarily want to use the word like spiritual, but open
no.
to... No,
oh,
not at all. So how did you find yourself on this path?
Yeah. So let me lay it out for you. My parents are first generation like Catholic Italian, my grandparents were born in Italy. So I'm, Italian American, and we were middle class. My dad worked really hard. He had his own business, brilliant man, mechanical engineer, but the energy in the household was always fear, lack, blame, struggle, not enoughness. There was always talk of, they always have more than we have. So it was very comparative. It just was coming from a place of not enough. And so I thought, I interpreted, the things that would make me happy. Cause as a kid, you listen to your parents and, oh, okay, make lots of money. That'll make me happy. Okay. I need to get a career. That'll make me happy. I need to find a man, get married, have kids, right? The whole list of like, these are all the things in life that will satisfy me, make me happy. And I went on that journey, a career, and I started getting promoted and had money in the bank, and I was really happy with the way my body looked because I was working out and, doing spin classes, and I was having the time of my life. I was engaged, to be married. And then all of a sudden I realized I got everything that I set out to get. So, I was on my way to have the wedding and the whole thing. And my girlfriend did an intervention, known her since 7th grade. And she said, I've never seen you more miserable. This is supposed to be the happiest time of your life because you're preparing your wedding, you're getting married, and she's like, I've never seen you more miserable. So I went to therapy before I walked down the aisle and actually called off the wedding. So during that time, trying to find out what do I want and who am I? And, it was a pivot point of living with someone. You think you're going in one direction and getting married, engaged and all that. And so that moment in time for me was a big reflection of what do I want? What's this about? I did all that. that didn't necessarily make me happy. I was depressed. I was sad. It wasn't what I thought it would be. And for me, I find that whenever I put something up there, whatever is like an accomplishment, like that's going to be the thing that finally will forever satisfy me, fulfill me, make me happy for the rest of my life. And then I get there and I'm like, oh, you know, and building it up and getting there, whether it's a title, accomplishment, a degree, whatever that is. And I know everybody can relate because we all do that. It's like, if I want to be successful, I got to go get this and then I'll feel successful. Or if I want to feel powerful or free, I need to go make this kind of money. So, because money is going to be the thing that makes me feel that way. And then we get there, we get the amount of money and it's like, well, dang it, that didn't do it. So maybe it's a higher amount of money, or maybe it's a different man, or maybe it's not just having one kid. Maybe I need to have another one. Or, you know, when we come from a place of creating from lack, and that's what I was doing, there's always going to be dissatisfaction through the whole journey. And even when the manifestation happens. And so that's what I was realizing. It's like, what is this all about? And that big question led me to start dating a man that lived in California. I ended up following him to California, still working for the company I was working with. And after about a month, we broke up, but one thing remained. He introduced me to my hairstylist. And so I went in and saw Janine to get my hair cut. And she had this just a different energy than I had ever experienced with anybody before. It was just like this effervescent, bubbly joy. And I just asked her, I go, what do you do? And she said, well, I meditate. And for me at this time, this is 28 years ago, way before internet, right? Way before The Secret, either went to a place to watch it or see it, like an event, or you went to a bookstore. And the bookstores didn't have what I was seeking in a regular bookstore, right? And I didn't want to go into a witchcraft bookstore, right? I was like, what is this? So, but anyway, she says, I meditate. And my idea at that time was like, someone that meditated was like a guru guy sitting on a mountain in a yogi position, white beard, you know, white long hair, kind of looking like God oming on the top of a mountain. And when she hears this girl from San Ramon, she's super hip. She's, you know, got a dog. She's a married, great person. I'm like, you meditate? Like, what do you mean? And so I was intrigued and I wanted to learn more. So she introduced me to my meditation teacher. And the first thing that my meditation teacher said to me is, you create your own reality. And when she said that, again, frame of reference, I'd never heard that before. And nobody I knew had ever said that before. And I didn't read the books yet that told me that I do. So I hadn't heard that. When I did, it was like, I create my own reality. And there was a inner wisdom, a knowingness, a truth that just came out. It was like, it just kind of rose above, you know, anything that my mind could even say, well, that's not true. So it was like, I really accepted it in that moment because I felt it as truth. I do create my own reality. And then my mind kicked in. Well, how do I create my own reality? And that's literally become the journey for me. And in that question, I realized that what she said to me at that time is you're repelling things from you or attracting things to you based on the way you think. And this was my moment in time. I know we all have it where it's like, or hopefully we all have it where it's like, wait a minute, that thought's not true. Wait a minute, I can actually hear that thought, change it, and I could change my state of beingness, right? That was a big, huge discovery for me as I was just witnessing. And that's what she said to me. I want you to go home for a week. I want you to just pay attention to your mind, to your thoughts, what you are hearing. And oh my gosh, Megan, the thoughts that I was having, I was so mean to myself, so critical. I mean, some of the things I would say to myself as I'd walk through by a mirror, you know, I was like, I would hear myself going, wow, that's really mean. You know, and I remember saying to my girlfriend, same girlfriend that did the intervention, I'm like, I'm a really negative person. And she goes, are you kidding me? She's one of the most bubbly, outgoing, positive people I know. And I'm like, well, that's weird because inside here. And so I had to shift those thoughts. I had to start paying attention to them and asking myself, is that a thought that I want to have create something? And so that became my journey. And I just I wanted to know more. So I went and saw whoever I could see and read whatever I could read. And through those 5 years, what I came up with is that there's many other universal laws, but there are 7 universal laws that are just absolutely essential for us to know about. It's like knowing the rules of the game. And when I started really applying my knowledge about that and then started teaching and then had my first book, you know, come through me, and that's a whole nother story in and of itself. What I realize is that when people can plug themselves into understanding these universal laws, your whole entire life changes, as did mine, as did, you know, clients over the past 20 years. So it's interesting because we have thoughts, we have feelings, we have a mindset that is either coming from lack, which always feels bad, or abundance, which always feels good. Mm-hmm. And that's where I had to realize that, wait a minute, no matter what I accomplished, no matter what I did, if I have this lack mindset that tells me, well, still not enough, right? If I watch a video of myself, well, you're not Oprah. It's like, well, why am I comparing myself to Oprah? You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like that not enoughness is what literally is like an anchor to people's spirit, and not in a good way. It like literally pulls down, and that's the blocks that people talk about. That's the, I feel like I sabotage myself, or I feel like there's something blocking me, or there's something holding me back, or I feel like I'm stuck in an area. I mean, these are all things that people say. And when you understand that you are actually the energy master of your life, and that how you master your energy is through your consciousness. And what's our consciousness? Our consciousness is what we say. That's why what we say, the words that we choose, are so important, because words are creative. There's actually a program, because people would ask me, well, what words are creative and which ones words are destructive? So I created a program. You can go to watchyourwords.com. It's a free video program. You get a video every day. It tells you each word, what not to say, why, and then what to say instead. Because people kept asking me in interviews, you know, like, what are the words? So we have to watch the words that we say. We have to pay attention to our thoughts. Now our thoughts, I mean, we've got so many thoughts going on a day, but a thought that drags us down and ignites the third part of our consciousness, which is our emotions, our feelings, that's how you can tell. A lot of times it's hard to, you know, I did that. I was like paying attention to thoughts. It's so much easier to be going about your day and going, hey, I feel good. Okay, let me amp up. You feel bad. Then you can go, okay, what do I need to shift? What thought made me feel this way, right? What emotion got triggered because of that thought? Now I can change the thought. I can process the emotions. But you're moving out of the consciousness of lack and into abundance, which always feels good. And then your outer reality reflects it. So you got words, thoughts, emotions, perspectives or beliefs, and then the actions or habits or, you know, behaviors that we take. That's our consciousness. We cannot control what the government's going to do. We cannot control what our employer is going to do. We can't control how many likes or followers or we're going to get, or, you know, if there's going to be a pandemic or not, or if there's going to be this or that. We can't control what our parents are going to say or don't, or our friends are going to do or don't. We can't control anybody else outside of ourselves. And when we finally really get that what I can have influence over is my own energy. I'm an energy receiver. I'm an energy container. And therefore I'm an energy transmitter, meaning those thoughts, words, it's transmitting energy. And with law of attraction, the signals that we send out, it's like a radio station, right? We are bringing in that particular signal, that particular frequency, so that we can then attract those things that match it.
Thank you for speaking on all of that. No, I relate honestly so much. Everything you were saying, I was just like, oh, I feel like she's speaking to my soul. And it's one of those things that I feel like, I mean, I've been on this journey for a while, and for me personally, it was really eye-opening to see how negative I was at one point in my life. And it just got to a point where it's exhausting. You're like, man, like I'm tired of being mean to myself or having these crappy thoughts. And for me, I was just like, there are people out there who are having great, fantastic lives. How do I become that person? Because this is not working for me. I would love if you could talk about the 7 essential laws, because I feel like if people understand it, there's so many people out there that go, Christy, you don't know what I've been through. I went through trauma when I was little. I was dealt these cards. How can you possibly say I attracted this disease or sickness into my life? Are you saying that I asked for it? Like, I can honestly hear these people right now in this in my head. So I would love if you could maybe speak on the 7 essential laws to maybe help people revamp their thinking and to go, you know what, maybe I am subconsciously attracting being fired from my job or losing my money or things just going stray in my life.
Yes. Program that goes through each and every one of the universal laws. You could also go to my YouTube channel, you know, and there's tons of videos there. Let me just say that the 7 essential laws are essential because then we're in the driver's seat, right? We're the one. And when we can understand that there's things that we attracted, not because we intended or knew about it or would ever choose that. Let me give an example. Cause I can hear you, you know, it's like, I've been doing this work for a long time. I've created the life I love. I wrote a book called The Art of Having It All. I mean, I'm all about, you know, you and your life being unlimited. And that's how I live now. But it wasn't like that before. And even during the journey of discovery, I had some things. So let me just list some contrasting things I've had that I've had to pivot through. And I worked with these universal laws to create a better reality. So let's do the first one. My sister committed suicide. Actually, we had her 24th anniversary, if you want to call it, on Memorial Day. So it's every year on Memorial Day, it's like, that's a, you know, it's an incredible story, but I had to heal from my sister's death and from that tragedy. Not easy to do. And then I got a divorce and then moved across to one part of the country to literally the opposite end of the country, found my husband, Frederick, got married. I moved to Montreal. We had 2 kids, our second child at his 2-month. I was doing in my career before I got divorced. I was one of the number one reps in my district. I decided that I was going to sign a declaration that I was no longer going to look at the company I was working for. I was a pharmaceutical rep as my source and my supply. So I signed a declaration. And within 7 days later, I was asked to resign from the company when I was the number one rep in the district. And so it was like the events of that were really weird. But here I was 3 months without not employed. And I had been working since I was 13 years old because I worked summers with my dad. So I'd always worked because I wanted to make my own money, right? Here I am 3 months without work and, didn't have a job, right? So was asked to either resign or get fired. So I resigned. And that, so these are like contrasting things, right? But here I am, I have a 2-month-old and a 18-month-old, and my 2-month-old had to be rushed to the hospital and needed open heart surgery and was in the hospital for a month. I mean, been in debt, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I get contrast. So it's not, none of us have ever been through a life where there's not been any contrast. And to even say that the environment condescending. There was a lot of verbal and mental abuse, and you know, it just didn't feel good. It was a beautiful tipping point for looking at my parents and their relationship, and they've been married 66 years, and they're both still alive. But looking at them and saying, "That's not what I want," and all of these scenarios, going through a divorce, "That's not what I want." That those qualities in that person, "That's not what I want." And most people stay at that. They go, "That's not what I want. Oh God, why am I stuck with this? This is not what I want. I don't want to get this. I don't." And we look at it, it's like our power gets taken away. We feel like a victim. This is not what I want. This is not what I signed up for. This is, you know, and we feel that lack, but don't know how to pivot off of it. And the pivot off of it and the 7 essential laws helps you guide yourself to learn how to pivot. For example, like we were just talking about, one of the laws is the law of sufficiency and abundance. And if you look at excuse me, if you look at everything like a spectrum, on one side you have lack, on the other side you have abundance. And in the middle is satisfaction. It's having the, you know, sufficiency, the enoughness. And if we can get out of the mindset of where all the lower level emotions and experiences of life, such as fear and worry and doubt and disappointment and anger and rage and, you know, all of that, powerlessness, sadness, you know, despair, all grief, guilt, shame, all of that feels bad. And it comes from a perspective of lack. It's not, it's a disconnect from who we really are. And it's a disconnect from the true nature of what's breathing us, which is abundant. So when we're out of alignment, we feel bad. That's our indicator right there. When we start to at least feel satisfied, right? How do we feel satisfied? Looking for the good in things, looking for the positive aspects, finding things to be appreciative or grateful for, you know, allowing yourself to focus on what you do want and why you do want it and how you do want to feel and what you want this jumping point to create. Because in each of those scenarios that I shared with you, I remember deliberately saying when my sister did that, I'll never know why she chose to end her life, but this is mine. This is my life. So I get to decide what I want my life to be like. And that was a big opening point. I mean, one of the most tragic things that has ever happened to me and my family became a birthing point for me. And that's how we need to look at our lives and look at it and go, your relationship, 5-year first marriage, he had said to me, great. And, you know, and he had been married before, another failed marriage. And I said, no, this was a success. We were together for 8 years. And in that 8 years, we had a lot of love and laughter and creativity and growth. For me, that 8 years of who I became in the process of that marriage, oh my gosh. I'm forever grateful. I'm forever grateful for him, you know, and that allowed me to have that, again, that next jumping off point to say, now, what kind of person do I want to be with? And then I met Frederick. I've been with him 16 years, you know, been married 15, 2 kids, you know, the whole thing. We work together. He works in the business with me. And, you know, it just, the dream relationship I've always had. Did it start out like that? Was it always like that? No, it took work. It's like we're saying that fine tuning back into satisfaction. Cause I could easily look at things that he's done in the past or the ways he didn't show up or ways I didn't get supported. And I can focus on those things, which would pull me down and make me feel bad. Or I can focus on the qualities that he does have and all the ways he has shown up and all the ways he surprised and delighted me instead. It's where we put our focus is what becomes our energetic experience.
Oh, I love this so much. I thank you so much for being so vulnerable too about your, what you went through in your life. But I feel like it really gives people almost that shift in perspective. And I feel like there's this, I kind of get torn as to, and you know, this is my perspective, my opinion. People either don't feel worthy of having a good life, or they almost feel bad about it. Like, I can't have this life because my sister passed away. So how can I be happy in my life? Yeah. And, you know, gratitude is really hard for people to wrap their head around, especially when it comes to some sort of tragedy in their life. And, you know, I always say to people, it's not like, my aunt passed away very suddenly, recently, very, very unexpectedly. And
sorry
it wasn't,
for your loss.
Thank you. And it was hard to deal with. And it wasn't like the day I got the news, I wasn't sitting there going, you know, well, I'm just so grateful for this moment. Like,
sure,
you have to process things.
Yes.
But then it's also finding a lesson, if you don't want to use the word like gratitude in it, like a lesson, what lesson can you take from this? And can you even find like,
A blessing. Yeah.
You know, I got to spend a lot of time with her and, you know, even more micro, I've talked about this a few times on the podcast, but I had an experience of being sexually abused by a family member for many, many years. it took a very long time for me to get over, but the moment I almost found gratitude, and that triggers people because people are like, how can you find gratitude in being like sexually abused for years on end? For me, it was looking at, thank God it's over. It's not like it's done with.
Not happening right now.
It's not happening right now. Things have been, you know, they've been dealt with. Thank God I didn't get pregnant or some sort of, you know, horrible disease from it. And it was kind of shifting that mindset from that and looking at, okay, like that was my life and look where it is now and the changes I've made. Oh, maybe I can inspire one person to change their life for the better. So, you know, like I do feel like gratitude sometimes can, you know, people are like, how am I supposed to find gratitude in this situation? It's,
well, let's talk about that because you don't jump right to gratitude. You don't like, okay, it's a spectrum. And first of all, in this world that we live in, one of the laws that's a seven essential laws is the law of polarity. You got to understand that if there is a reality in which someone was abused, whether it's verbally, mentally, physically, sexually, however that abuse took place, there is a reality where you are thriving and being respected. And like there's that quantum reality, right? If there's a reality where you're lacking in something, that same reality exists in possibilities and potential that where you are thriving in something, you have abundance in something. So the version of us that we manifest and we see, it's like, okay, this is what's manifested, but people get so stuck in the situation and circumstance because they're so identified with the 3D world. And we have to understand that what's going on is the very breath that's breathing us is non-physical. You know, it's the energy, and that energy is all around us. It's within us. It is the creator of all life experience. It's energy. And that when we feel we are lacking something, we can pull in and fill up with that energy. But it's when you have something that what I like to call bushwhacks you, you can't just go, oh, I'm so grateful for this bushwhack, because that's BS. Nobody's going to feel I didn't feel gratitude about my sister committing suicide for years, because there was a process of having to release that anger and release the sadness and go through the grieving process, you know, and whatever the mind would try to bring up with, that's where I had to go, wait, that's a question I'm never going to get an answer to. I have to let that go. Right. And I don't know the answer to that, but how I want to feel is I want to feel connected to myself, because she is a perfect example of contrast of how I don't want to end up and how I don't want to create my life. So what do I need to do? What do I want? Focus on what you want instead of what you don't want. Your mind shifts. That's only the first part. We're mind, but we're not only mind. We have four bodies: our energy body, our physical body, our mind, and our emotions are all different parts of our totality of who we are as a body. A body, like, because the as I wrote in Quantum Success, who we know ourselves to be and all of our history and all of that is only 4% of who we really are. The 96% is that energy, is that focus. So we can fine tune and connect in with gratitude, but not before we got to process that emotion that's coming up. And that's what too many people have learned to do. And too many people are doing it. I know I lived like that way for years. I had anger and why would I be angry? I mean, nothing to be angry about. So I beat myself up for feeling what I'm feeling and telling myself you're wrong to feel the anger. But yet I would get angered at so many little things. I was annoyed and angered and frustrated. That's how I lived my life. Just like, oh, that person now pissed me off. And, oh, that thing pissed me off. Everything was pissing me off because I was holding this fire of anger energy under the surface. And yet my brain couldn't justify why I'm angry. So I had to stuff it down. And so I smoked cigarettes and I, you know, smoked other things and, you know, drank and had boyfriends and, you know, multiples and, I did all the things, food and all the things outside of me to try to find some level of satisfaction when each of us, you know, try to, even the good things, try to succeed and achieve and go and do and, you know, and all those things. It's like we started talking in this conversation. The fulfillment comes from the energy, not just with the mind. So what do you want turns the mind. why do you want it starts the energy, starts the energetic focus. Because when you think about, well, I want money. Okay, well, why do you want money? I want to take, you know, I want to go on that vacation. I want to go to Austria. I want to go to Bali. I want to go, you know, I want to do that. I want to easily pay my rent every month. I want to have extra money so that I can contribute into a service business or into, you know, a particular organization or nonprofit. I want to, you know, put my kids in the best schools, or I want to, you know, eat the best foods or go to the best restaurants. Whatever reason why you want the money, when you think about why you want it, now you feel good in talking about it, unless the mind tells you, yeah, but you don't have it now. Right? So it's a point of where's the focus? Is what you're focusing on in your consciousness, does it feel good or does it feel bad? And if it feels bad and you already have that energy generating in your body, you got to process that energy. And like we talked about, the neutralizer to getting you over from feeling bad to feeling good in this is self-compassion. Because if you're feeling judgment and then you feel bad about yourself or others, and you start to allow yourself to feel compassion instead of that judgment, you actually have shifted your vibration. And now you're closer to understanding what you're really connected to. And you can fill yourself with an even higher vibration of love or appreciation or gratitude. But there were many, many moments that I would go quietly into my closet and sit on the closet floor with the door closed and bawl because my sister, or, you know, putting up the Christmas tree and taking up an ornament that had her name on it, and then making that a tradition that that's the last ornament that I put on the tree. But the first time I saw it, I had to go into my bedroom and take care of the emotions that were coming up. I remember years and years ago when I would drive around as a sales rep in my car and I was listening to cassettes, tells you how old I am, cassettes of Wayne Dyer and Marianne Williamson. And I remember there was one Marianne Williamson talked about on grief. And she said, if you have, you know, I'm summarizing, I don't remember her exact words, but what I interpreted it as was, if you have 10 tears to cry and you only, you know, cry six, there's four left to cry. And that those tears are vibration. I'm now saying this. Those tears are vibration. They stay stuck in the body. And that's when, you know, we suppress them. And they're still creating a vibratory pull. So even though they're down there, right? Like you were saying, no, I would not. I had accidents. Oh, I forgot to say that. I had two life-threatening accidents, but I came out literally without scratch. Like that, these are other contrasting things. I hit the side of a mountain, almost went down like into a river, hit the side of the mountain, walked out, and the firemen and the policemen and the ambulance came. And I walked out of this. My car was totaled. And they were all like, you don't know how many people have died in this exact corner on this cliff, and you're walking away without a scratch. You know, it's like moments like that. I'm so grateful. I didn't look at the car. I didn't look at, you know, what has been the crash. I looked at, oh my gosh. And this is an awakening. You know, for me, that was a big time, because that was an awakening of, I just almost skipped death. Mm-hmm. What am I doing in my life that I want to adjust? What's working? What's not working? Right. And we always have that free will to do that. So it's shifting the mindset. It's finding a better feeling thought when you find the thought that's critical or judgmental or that you don't like, right? It's listening to podcasts like this. It's things that you can plug in to improve your life. And there's beautiful authors besides myself that are out there, you know, doing this work, beautiful podcasters and, you know, YouTubers. And, you know, it's whatever you can dial into that feels good for you. It's not cookie cutter. It's not, nobody's for everybody, right? But just having those little touchstones, like those little spiritual breadcrumbs that you can, you know, gather up as you're going along on your journey. These are things that help you remind you of who you are and how powerful you are and what you can create and how to create it.
I feel like you're the perfect person to ask this, especially when it comes to the law of attraction and manifestation, this idea of like attracts like. And then there are the people who go, opposites attract. What goes up must come down. You know, the shoe has to drop. If you're up there at some point, it's all going to come crashing down. And I remember that question being brought up to me because I love the law of attraction, manifestation. And it kind of threw me off because I was like, I'm not really entirely sure how to answer this, like this idea of like opposites attract. So what would you say to somebody who's, you know, to help them shift out of that mindset into seeing that, you know, that doesn't have to be the case?
Well, it's both and then that's why it's important to understand the seven essential laws, because one of the universal laws, there's two laws in there. One's law of attraction, that what you send out comes back. Like attracts like, right? So like attracts like means vibration. It's not necessarily characteristics. For example, my husband and I are just like, we are so on the same vibrational page, right? He is very super mellow. He's very just even keel. I mean, if you could have the most exciting thing in the world and he's not going to get like, you know, me on the other hand, I'm bouncing up and down, you know, I get very passionate, you know, I'm kind of like fire. He's ice, you know, he kind of cools me down a little bit. I kind of fire him up a bit. So it's an example of both of those laws. Vibrationally, we resonate really, really well together. It's about vibration when it comes to law of attraction, right? And then when you look at in the 3D realm with the characteristics and the qualities and all that kind of stuff, we're very opposite in that way because you have two poles, right? And I like what you say, because there is experience of if there's left, there's right. If there's in, there's out. If there's up, there's down. You know, this is polarity. Right? It's evidenced by weather. You have extreme hot on one end, extreme hot, extreme cold on the other hand, and then all the spectrums in between, right? You can see just the people that are just bringing such goodness and light to the world, and then others that are so many different experiences. And yet, when we are vibrating at a rate that's on that spectrum, wherever kind of we're playing, think of it as like piano keyboards, you know, how each one has its own note and tonality, right? You have your high, high notes, you have your low, low notes, whatever note you're hitting, that's what you're vibrating with from an energetic perspective, from the polarity perspective, from opposites attract, that's where 3D characteristics, all that kind of stuff. Because it's interesting. I want to say it was a good, I don't know, 6 years into my marriage with my husband. And I had a realization that all the women that I've known, except for my grandmother, but all the women in my family that I was raised with were dissatisfied with their husbands and felt that they weren't enough and they would complain about them. There was this constant. And one day I had this realization because I'm thinking of my aunt and I'm thinking of my mom and I'm thinking of my cousin and I'm like going, oh my gosh. And I walked up to my husband, he's relaxing in the bedroom. And I said to him, you know what? You can never win. And he's like, that's a random thing to say to him, right? And he goes, oh, what do you mean? And I go, I've been conditioned, programmed to be dissatisfied with husband, not with Frederick, but with the role of husband. And I just realizing this now, it's like, that's how when I think of a husband from a woman's perspective, they're dissatisfied. They're not doing enough. They're not making enough. They're not changing enough diapers. They're not, whatever it is. It's not enough. It's the vibration. That's the vibration. Well, from higher vibrations we attracted, but even from lower patterns, because he went, oh my gosh, I've been programmed that. Just like, but the opposite, men are never enough. Why even try? They're never going to satisfy. So why am I going to make tons of efforts? No matter what I do, it's never going to be enough. So I might as well just give up and not do anything. So now you can see this push-pull. Men are not enough. Women are never going to think I'm enough. Might as well try. So he's showing up with a, I'm not even going to try. And I'm looking at him going, do more. You're not doing enough. Help me out more. That is a polarity 3D connection, right? But it's also vibration, right? It's like our our issues, we're perfectly attracted. So that's why I went to him and I'm like, you want to bust this? And he's like, yeah. So he and I busted. That was the thing that we busted. But the vibration of the high level of beings, we are so connected on that level and that vibration. But that particular opposites attract thing, which perfectly like a magnet came together. So explains, does that explain both?
It explains it so good. Perfectly well. And it actually led into the next question I have for you, this idea of realization, self-awareness. And I know you're very versed in this topic of quantum, like energy, almost like this quantum leaping. Mm-hmm. And I think for some people, they feel like, well, if I do this thing, it's going to take years for me to see the result. You know, I don't like, Christy, I don't have time. I'm at this age, you know, like how long is this going to take me? And in my personal experience, whenever I've had this realization or awareness, or my husband and I have communicated something, worked past it, the quantum leaping is like, it is astronomical how when you get on that plane of vibration of like abundance, things are working out, we're moving past this, I've realized this, I'm moving in the opposite direction. Like, I feel like people don't truly realize how quickly it can happen. And some, not for everybody, like sometimes it is a little bit of a longer process, but it can happen astronomically fast. It does not have to be this, you know, it's going to take you 15 years because you've dealt with it for 15. Can you speak a little bit more on that?
Yeah, because energy is now, energy is in the present. And when you get, when you tap into energy and you start feeling the frequencies that you want to connect with, and you're tapped into the quantum field, when you understand that, yes, in the 3D world, there's action that you have to take. And, you know, it could feel like it takes a long time, or that there's the perspective of it's going to take a long time, or it maybe already has. Hey, I've wanted a man for 5 years and I've been trying to manifest him. Where is he? Right? We have to all understand is that energy goes fast. It is quantum. It's like that. It's us that blocks that flow. So the more you can release the pain body, the more you can release the imprints that don't serve, the limitations, the blocks, the lower level consciousness, meaning the beliefs that we have that, you know, I had a belief the other day. Almost a year ago, but I was looking forward to doing something, and I had drove about half an hour away from where I live, and I was really looking forward to it. And I was supposed to meet this person, and I all of a sudden at the last minute, when I'd already gone there and waited for an hour, it was canceled. And I was like, I was angry. I was sad. I was disappointed because I was really looking forward to this. So as I was driving back home, I felt my sadness, because that's what like first came up. So I just felt the sadness, and that's the processing that we do for energy mastery and all that, is how to, you know, it takes about 90 seconds to process an emotion. You know, I felt the sadness. And then after that, it was a wave of anger that came up, and I felt the anger, allowed myself to be angered. And then all of a sudden it was like disappointment started coming up. And my guides, who I call the council, you know, who I channel, basically said, pull over. And I was like 5 minutes away from the house. And so I pulled over in a parking lot, and they said, why are you so easy to feel the sadness and the anger, but it comes to the disappointment, you're not willing. And I go, that's a really good question. Why is that so easy, but I'm not willing to feel disappointment? And then a picture flashed in front of my face of being in seventh and eighth grade and really feeling like I wanted to be part of a team, like a sports team or a cheerleading team, right? So I would go out for every team, softball, cheerleading, tennis, you know, track. I hate running to this day. I would go out for everything just so I could be on a team. And what came to me is that every time I left the house and it was the day to try out for softball or, you know, whatever it would be, my mom would say, now don't be disappointed if you don't get it. Right. And then when I would come back home and I would get the news that I didn't get on the team, she would say, well, life is full of disappointments. So I got programmed to, number one, don't feel disappointment. And what we know and what I was saying before is like, when we have a closing down, when I have a disappointment, I don't allow myself to feel that, that creates an imprint. And energy is always moving. It's always creating. So it creates a vortex. And now I'm literally creating a vortex of energy in me that's pulsating to disappointment within my subconscious, within my own field, within my bodies. And now I am beaconing other things, people to disappoint me. That's my set point. And not feeling it is not the answer, because not feeling it, if it's there, like the anger, like the disappointment, whatever it may be, that is there. And it's bringing more things like accidents and, you know, divorces and, you know, all the debt, all these things from there. So release the imprint, feel the disappointment, right? And then I realized, because what I've been doing this work a long time, I'm like, oh my gosh, like here in this now moment, I'm having a realization that I have had a belief that life is full of disappointments. I first just stopped and let myself feel compassion for that. Wow. What do I want life to be full of? I want life to be full of surprise and delights. So what does that feel like? What does that believe? How do I tune my attention to expecting life to be full of surprise and delights? And do you know, before I even got home, I got a call from someone that's saying, oh, we're booking you on a podcast for a million, you know, over a million viewers or listeners. And it was like instant. What a cool surprise and delight. I didn't even pitch that person, right? I didn't even, that kind of stuff. It's the things that when you look for the universe to literally be your co-creator with you, your co-partner, it is your life. It's your life partner. We might have husbands, but our true life partner is our life. And it's the energy that beats our hearts and that we're breathing and is there with us 24/7. And it's the pure potentiality, which is another universal law, seven essential laws, pure potentiality. It's there, it's energy. And it's us as the container to that energy where we get to choose the piano note and key. Today, I want to feel joy. And we can align with that and resonate with that. And then everything in our life is going to be reflected. And then sometimes we might have a realization, boom, I'm disappointed. Well, do you want to stay in disappointment and continue to attract more things that disappoint you? Or do you want to release that disappointment and then find compassion for yourself, right? Have compassion for every single moment in your physical journey where you had to hold on and feel or not feel, suppress, release, resist disappointment. Feel that compassion for all those parts. And then you get to decide, what do I want my life to be like? What energy, which is right there. It's like going to the vending machine of the spiritual vending machine. I like A2, which is love. Okay. I want to feel love today. And then you get to choose your words with love and your thoughts with love and feel the love and act from love and believe that you are love.
I feel like I could talk to you all day about this, because everything you're saying, I'm like, oh my God, I feel it on such a vibrational level. It's that realization is so powerful. And it's one of those things that, like, once it comes into your ether, into your being, that you're like, oh my God, this, I'm programmed to think of disappointment. Or, for me, one of my set points is this idea of like bitterness. Like if I feel bitter towards somebody or jealous, it's like, for me, it's a good indication, like, okay, what does this mean exactly? Like, why do you feel this way? But now every time that, like, I feel it in my being, I feel it, like my thought is that, and it's like, oh, I can just change this. And it also helps you get to very clear on, you know, what do you want? Like, why is this triggering you on such a deep level? You know, for me, it's like, I don't care if people have Louis Vuitton handbags. Like, I've never been that person who needs to have that stuff. So that stuff really doesn't bother me. But if I see somebody who's like in a really amazing location traveling, it's like that jealousy comes up where it's like, ooh, oh my God, I want that. I want to go to Bali and stuff as well. And then it's, you know, once you have that realization, like it always, for me at least, pops up and I can really do some internal work and go, okay, like why is this triggering me? do I actually want it? And if I do, like, you know, what kind of work needs to happen here? Is it a belief that I don't feel like I can go there, or I don't have the money to go there? Like, what's going on a deeper level?
Yeah. Well, that's always it, is that, you know, and I wrote, there's a chapter in one of the books that I wrote, co-authored with a marriage and family therapist, Rebecca Grotto, called Taming Your Alpha Bitch. And we, one of the things that we talk about in there is competition, and that's where jealousy and envy come from. And we actually had a whole other book that we were writing together called The Fairest One of All, because we look at a lot of times other people, what they have. And in a case of, I remember a moment when I was in the process of writing that book, and a friend of mine and her husband were going on a cruise. And I was like, I want to do that. How come I, and then I felt jealous, mm-hmm. right? And that's the thing I had to say to myself. It's like, well, wait a minute. Do you want that? Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't realize before that they brought up a cruise and you were always like, I don't want to go on a cruise. Now their friends are going on a cruise. Now you're like, you know, maybe you want to go on a cruise. So if you want to go on a cruise, go. Mm-hmm. But I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. Those are the thoughts that tell us that we're in lack of something. And that's what feels bad. It's not that your friend is going on a vacation or that you see someone on Instagram succeeding in something. It's not that at all. It's that they're a reflection. And how fun is it when you can shift out of lack and into abundance and you see something fabulous that someone's doing and you're like, oh, I want to do that too. And then you just immediately know, I can do that. Plus, I'd like to do it differently. I'd like to go there, but go here too. You know, you get to create it on your own and know that, you know, these are just, I like to see it now as someone succeeding at something or doing something. I'm like, ooh, evidence, it's in my field. That means that it's resonating with me. It means I'm closer to it because I'm seeing somebody else do it rather than going, huh, how come they get it and I don't, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah. It's that part of us that's in lack. So when anytime you have jealousy, envy, any of that, because someone could be driving down the road, be a jerk, right? Instead of that, because you're coming from lack, what's underneath that is you feel you don't have the chance. You feel you're in lack. And so that's an opportunity to hear yourself and to go, wait a minute, let me fill up with the truth of abundance that I like that car. And someday, I don't know when it's going to be, and I may not know the how. Someday I'm going to drive that car. And you feel yourself what it must be like to drive that car and start to visualize yourself going to pay that car from a person or from a dealership or from however you're going to, in your visualization, you get to create all the little details and then be so surrendered, because as you're vibrating in that, be surrendered that it has to look like that or this, because the universe has a bird's eye view and a much more expanded view and has more opportunities and has more even knowledge of what you would prefer and like, and will serve it to you in an even better way. I remember real quick when I was moving from Redding, California to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I had to get a car, and I knew what I wanted to drive. And I loved back then the Audi A4 convertibles. And I was clear that's what I wanted to get. And I was also clear, I had written this down, right? I wrote down, I wanted a cassette tape as well as a CD player. Because again, I'm dating myself, because the fact that I had all these great CDs that I like to drive around with, right? Plus DVD or CDs. So, cause that's in CDs. And, you know, so it was like all these different things that I said in my head. And I got to Pennsylvania. It was like a Friday night, Saturday morning. It's like, okay, I'm in a rental car. I need to go look for a car. Right. And I out of the apartment, there was not a straight way. There was either you go left or you go right. So I had two choices. And I felt kind of my way into it. And I go, I'm going to go left. I drove down the road and there was a Volkswagen dealership. So I see Volkswagen, right? And I'm driving by it. And on the lawn at a Volkswagen dealership is an Audi. And I'm like, that's the car I like. Turn around. I go in there. It had cassette tape. It had, you know, a CD player. It was the convertible that I wanted. It was the color I wanted. It was the price I wanted, because a woman had literally bought it. It had 9,000 miles on it, got pregnant, decided she couldn't use this convertible, brought it back. So I didn't have to pay full market, you know, as you're driving off the lot. So it was like every single quality of it was like absolutely perfect. And that's what I mean. It's like, let yourself be surprised and delighted. Now that's a car story, right? But whether it's a car, I've got so many house stories, like whether it's you creating your dream house, you know, when you apply understanding that everything that forms in our 3D environment is first energy. Now you get, that is law of attraction at its best.
I love it so much. I want to be really mindful of your time, but I have two shorter kind of questions for you. My first one is, if anyone wanted to learn more about your books, or maybe even pick one of them up, but they can only pick up one, which one are they starting with?
Oh, it's like having seven children. And I know. That one's my favorite.
Which one's your fave?
It's so hard. Oh, they're all different, but yet they all have the essence of teaching seven essential laws. I would say the latest one, which is the desire factor. That's the one that was channeled with me, has a lot of my personal experiences, but it more importantly has step-by-step how to manifest. I mean, literally it goes through the principles, not from me, but from the council, that where, you know, these universal principles is how energy sets up to then literally pop into a manifestation. And so it's very, very powerful.
Amazing. Yeah. And my final question for you is there a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you a lot of value that you want to share with the audience?
There's, you know, I'm so grateful for everyone and everything, my mentors and, you know, and books and programs along the road. I would say my favorite book that helped really solidify this for me, and it's an older book, but it's called Ask and It Is Given from Abraham Hicks. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it gave such a simplified and deep look at that connection between who you are and our role with non-physical. And when you know that and can solidify that and then be able to have practical tools, because, you know, you can think about this all day and you can feel your way into it, but we also have to act from it and be from it. And so when you have practical tools and processes like they have in Ask and It Is Given, you know, it's a desire factor also has that too. But that's what I like about it is that I think that you can read that over and over again and get more information and more depth each time you read it.
Amazing. Yeah, it's one of those things that I think sometimes people make it this huge, like it's got to be this huge complicated thing. And it's so nice when it's really simplified, especially for the people who are like teetering on that edge of like, I don't know if it works. Yeah. Christy, this has been an incredible conversation. I could talk to you for another hour. If people want to follow along with you online, if they want to buy your books, if they just want to check out what you're up to, where can everybody go and find you?
So a few places. So I also have a podcast called the Desire Factor Podcast. So you could check that out. You can also go to watchyourwords.com. That's that 30-day free video program that I told you about that will really help you understand what words and phrases that you're personally saying that are either to you. So that's something great to check out. And then if you want to go deeper into the seven essential laws, we have the ChristyWhitman.com. You can go and sign up for the seven videos, or you can go on YouTube, and I have lots of different videos on all the universal laws on my YouTube channel.
Amazing. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge and your journey with us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Megan.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.